Okay, let's get started with a prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many blessings that we enjoy today, especially the blessing of being members of Deer Springs Ranch and the community here. We pray that your Spirit would guide us, guide our hearts, guide our minds as we discuss issues and make decisions regarding the best ways that we can use the ranch for the benefit of all the members and all of their guests. We thank you for all of the blessings in our lives, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's start with the roll call, and I guess we can start with board members. I'm here. Larry is here. We have Joe, we have Cindy, we have Kurt, and
that is the majority. If we all agree.
Kathy, are you on the conference?
I'm the only one here right now, Mike, at this is Vance.
Okay, hey Vance. Thank you. Vance, for the roll call, Cindy, you're making notes, right? Okay. Cindy is our volunteered to take the meeting minutes today. Unfortunately, we have a recording to back that up, so that'll be nice. Kathy Pierce, one more time, are you on the conference? Okay, so we don't have Kathy yet. She told me that she was going to try to join with the conference, so hopefully she'll be able to call in shortly. And then John Harris is not going to be able to be here today.
Right.
Okay, so that's the board. And then let's and we have Vance on the conference. He's the only one on the conference so far. And then let's go around.
Jeff Nicholson, 113.
Jeff Nicholson, 113.
I'm O'Brien again today. He gave me double-aught status because somebody unplugged my cord last time. So anybody who unplugs the cord this time, they'll get double-aught.
All right, so Brent Fulmer is here.
Hi, ever. Rock 3. I'm the ninth from the full go.
Thank you. And you may or may not remember that I ran into you when I was looking for Bob Becker's place and got lost. And ran into you on your deck that day, and you pointed me in the right direction. So thank you again for that.
Kevin and Cindy Cool, 64.
Thank you.
Kevin Tina Collins, 121.
Bay Rule, 320. Misha,
490. Dan Wirt, 28 plus.
Neil Clarkson, 164 plus.
All right. Well, welcome everyone to our July meeting. And I want to start out, I put it in the email that got sent out to everybody, but I wanted to apologize for any confusion about the meeting day and time. We had suggested the early morning Saturday meeting at the end of our last meeting. And when I realized that there were a lot of people, a lot of board members that weren't going to be able to be here, I tried to find an alternate day and time that would work, and as you can see, that we couldn't find a day and time that would work for everybody, so it is what it is. And for the future, just to avoid any future confusion, we have decided that we're going back to what has historically been the meeting day and time, which is going to be, I should say meeting day, which is going to be the second Saturday of every month. And you know, during the hot summer months, we'll keep it at 10 a.m. And then maybe when we get later into the fall, if we want to do it a little bit later, people don't like to get up so early, we can adjust the time. But for now, it'll be second Saturday of the month, 10 a.m. So everybody can plan their schedules accordingly. All right. And presentation and approval of the meeting minutes by Kathy Pierce. Kathy's not here.
She emailed them to everybody, and everybody had input. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know I personally responded back with my comments and updates.
And
did everybody
I
have
did
a chance
well,
to do
yeah.
that? Okay. So if everybody had a chance to provide updates, then the meeting minutes, and I propose that the meeting minutes that were revised be accepted and approved.
I second.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay. It passes. All right. Next, we're going to Joe Bose with the treasurer report.
Okay. I got the mine and partially for Mariah. We got written down here. We got 19 new members at Deer Springs now. As of this last report, 283 lots have paid their assessments, so we're 95% on that for collecting our dues. The checking account has $119,251 in it. The savings has got $61,190, and the additional savings were up to $4,270.
And just for everyone's knowledge, if you didn't see it, the financial information is on the back of the agenda. So you actually have that to look at.
You've collected 84% of our anticipated income. So we still have something. We haven't got the grazing contract in yet, nor the deer one yet, have we?
Not this year,
no. Not yet, so. But we're pretty close. We're 84% collected where we belong. Our office thing is for also there are nominations we need by July 15th for whoever's going to run for. There are four positions open, so we need nominees for the four new board members. We have to have that in by July 15th, and 16th is the end. And she's got on the back of the report what we're at. If you want, anybody wants to go through it, I don't know if we passed them out. So
yeah, it's on the back of the agenda for them.
You know, since going through all that, she's got it all listed on there for you. And that's about it.
A couple of other things from Mariah. It will go, well, first, any questions for Joe? Okay, so next item, the office report from Mariah. Mariah did send us, she couldn't be here today, but she did send us some detailed information. Joe shared part of that. A couple of other things. In terms of the nominations for the board of directors, the close for that's July 15th. And if you haven't yet and want to submit a nomination, you send those to Mariah just at her normal DSROA at DeerSpringsRanch.org or Mariah at DeerSpringsRanch.org. Or I can give you, anybody want her phone number in case you want to give her a call? I've got a phone number that she provided. No takers. Okay. And as a reminder, our annual meeting date will be Saturday, September 11th here at the ranch headquarters. And she will be sending out the mailing for the election that'll be going out about the middle of August. So about a month from now, she'll be sending out the official agenda and ballots for the annual meeting. Okay, any questions about any of that? Nope. Okay. Number five, property management report, Mr. Jacob.
We've been watering like crazy, trying to get the grass to grow and letting everything just grow and hope it comes back. It should be back by the annual meeting, I would hope. Cabin 6 is nearly completed. I have an opening coming up there this week, and so I have to do the breakfast nook and some polyurethane.
To clarify, when he says nearly completed, it's in use.
It's in use.
So it's
been
being used. It's just there are items to finalize.
Lots of stuff to do still on that. And so this week I'll be jumping in on that. And the petting zoo is going good. We're getting, when we have kids, kids are taking advantage of it. I had the pleasure of my grandson being here last week, and he really enjoyed the rabbits. A little afraid of the lambs, but it was kind of fun. So, and vehicle maintenance is, we're having issues with the Ford still. It's going on 3 months being out of service. And the GMC is out of service. So the ranch is vehicle-less at the moment. We're hoping to get those up and running here real soon. So, You know, we got to touch a little bit on the on that, and I think yes, very it's a great idea.
Because it keeps going down, right? So.
Well, yeah, and it's just we just need to not buy junk and start buying nice vehicles that are going to last a while. And the Ford's lasted what 100 and how many miles, Brent? Do you think that Ford's been in service?
It's got 210,000 on it.
Okay, so over 100,000 of that is ranch miles. And, you know, the it's hard miles that we put on it. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's something that I think we're going to discuss more in the next meeting.
Well,
so,
can we figure out budget number? Because we're always online looking for stuff. We can keep our eyes out.
Okay.
Larry mentioned that there are a lot of government surplus vehicles that may be available, too, that we could be looking for.
Yeah, I looked at two, and I thought they're starting at $400. I go, man, that's great. You go to just look at the pictures of half the engines in the front.
But, I mean, it's a given. We have to have a ranch vehicle that works.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, we don't need to go spend $70,000 on a new Dodge Ram, but we do need to have a vehicle that works properly
right. And
is reliable. So
that's where I'm at. But thank you. That's a great idea. I'll get back with you on that.
So I figured more eyes looking.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Okay.
Do we want to replace the Chevy and the Ford with one vehicle? Do we need two vehicles?
I think we just need one vehicle. And just a line of thought that I was going in, Brent would be better to answer this, is what's it going to take to get the fire truck up to snuff, and should we look for a fire truck and make that fire truck we have a utility vehicle? Just a thought.
I don't think so. I think we ought to keep the fire truck separate. If we break it down on normal maintenance, it would be worthless to us.
Well, I mean, that's why I say look for a fire truck.
Have it at the upper end of the ranch?
Huh?
Have one at the lower, one at the upper?
I don't know if we can afford two.
I don't think so.
But my proposal is to trade them out, but it's just a thought that I have. So.
Well, we need to come up with a plan for replacing either one or both of the trucks. Get at least one truck that's working and reliable. So we'll come up with a budget and start looking and let everybody know. Okay? Kurt, Kurt, anything else you wanted? I have a question for you. We had talked about putting in a cattle grate at the entrance to HQ.
Right, and it's still going to go in.
Okay.
I need to, that whole entrance needs to be redone. And it's on, as soon as I get cabin 6 done, I get the rating on 7 that I'm on that.
Okay.
And I also, for the entrance to where the generator is in the well field, there's a old telephone pole there. That's a tall pole for the gate, and the gate's actually holding that pole up. So I need to go out and cut some trees for this entrance and for that area down there, and then we're also going to do a alleyway here for the cows. When they're bringing cows in, they'll be bringing them straight up the road into the corrals instead of through our 3 acres behind the ranch house. So that gives us the ability to do things there where we don't have to worry about cattle. And all the fencing has been completed around headquarters, so we're cow-free. And the ponds should be completely cow-free now as well. If anybody sees any cows out there, I'd sure like to know about it. But I haven't seen any lately.
Okay.
There was a black cow and a brown cow in Lower Slide Canyon this week. Not our cows, not hunt cows.
I got to get with Kevin Ballard because he added a few domestics.
Okay, thanks.
And I need to find out what his tag colors are, but I do believe, in fact, I know the fence that I repaired is they're not getting through any of that. But there are some getting through, we're thinking, up behind Lower Slide somewhere. So
maybe Norris's.
Yeah. Clancy's looking into that and got a plan for that. We also had cows getting up on, like, got up on Crawford Pass, and they're actually heading for trophy. And Sid saw them up there, and Clancy went up there with his little brother and Wyatt, and they brought them back and fixed the hole in the fence, and so that's all been resolved.
There was a lot of them up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
50, 5-0.
Wow.
Well, Wyatt, it was funny because Wyatt's just a little guy, but he's the one that brought him down because Clancy had to go back to the truck. And so he drove the truck back, and Clancy already had him down to the gate. And then I saw Kevin last week. I ran into him, and he was hauling 8 more that he had done up the job. So,
yeah, they had some.
Yeah, they finger out.
They were clear past the restroom thing.
Yeah.
When we went up with Sid in his razor, when that's when we seen him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yep. Hopefully that's the best.
Hey, any questions for Kurt?
Letter on the trout.
Yep.
And overgrazing. Cattle moved in here about a month earlier than they should have. And I think the feed is about gone. The question is, what happens next?
Well, I know we talked last time that the BLM was working on some.
Yeah, and I have not heard from Alan Bates regarding that, but I will call him Monday morning.
I'm not concerned about the BLM. I'm concerned about Deer Springs grazing, which is 75% of all the grazing is here.
We don't want starving cows.
All the rest.
Right.
And well, they get shorter, the fences get crowded more. And so I'm concerned from a livestock standpoint as to what evaluations need to be made and whether they've got to be moved out. Some other herds of cattle are having to be moved totally off existing property, and so some of you should look at that.
Find alternate.
And then decide what, well, it's up to Hunts
right.
to do whatever.
Well, the bottom line is if the Hunts run out of grass, they have to buy feed for the cattle at their deal. The herd in the wet meadow has been greatly reduced in the last 2 weeks. They just started really grazing Deer Springs Point last week. And there's a whole bench along where they avoid putting the cows so they don't get into podunk. And that wasn't grazed at all last year. There's quite a bit of grass out there still. And as of right now, that area can sustain itself. But they are going to have to address grass shortages. The 103 acres here in the well field is not being used, and they at the moment have no plan of using it, not overgraze it. And this area all around here is just basically trespassing cows, so we really don't have to. So they are trying to move them around. They're trying to keep them down lower slide where another area where the cows didn't graze, haven't grazed much in the last few years. That's why we got the well going. They push them to shove, they got to buy the meat.
Yeah, that's a valid point. And yeah. You're right, it's statewide. It's not just their strange ranch.
Well, there's several. Talking to Sue Bader, and there are several guys in town that have just sold this house.
Right.
Yeah, the hunt situation is different because they have a breeding program, and it's not a beef program. So they'll be more inclined to buy feed. I know they bought feed last winter down in St. George when all they were down there. So yeah, good point.
Kurt, would it help if I call and talk to Brad Hunt at all? I mean, it's just a
Actually, I've been dealing with Kevin Ballard.
Oh, okay.
Kevin's boots on the ground.
Right.
And he's much easier to talk to, and he knows he's forward in what's going on. And I
Well, he's a vet, right?
Yeah.
So he knows about the need for feed.
He's really been managing things well. In fact, he kept several head down at his place feeding them in the late winter.
Okay.
Some that came back early. They've been doing a really, really, the Ballards have been doing a great job.
A good man.
Yeah,
good,
they've been doing good family. Good. His wife's out here working on the ranch. There's not a day goes by that I don't run into some of them out here. And then they come back and they talk to me about, you know, what they can do and what they've done. And so they're communicate.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So, yeah, we have a real good relationship now with them. And that helps Hunt Cattle Company a lot.
All right. Any questions for Kurt? No, we're good. Okay, moving on. Following up on some previous items of discussion, update on the lower cabin solar integration.
Well, we're in a kind of a, I was going to start working on it this weekend, and then Larry found a building. Have you looked at that again?
Larry? Yeah.
What's it up to now?
$80.
$80?
Well, wait until the last hour.
Last hour.
So how much are we talking? How big of a building? What are we?
Okay, good question. Okay, so here's what's going on. We were planning to build basically a little enclosure for the solar equipment to be up by the lower cabins. That's where all the wiring is, and just the cost of materials to build a little, you know, put in a concrete pad that was going to be, what, like 10 by 14 or something like that?
Our 10 by 14 would be perfect.
So we were planning on spending, you know, in the neighborhood of $2,500 plus just for materials to put in a little enclosure, a little shack to protect all that solar equipment. And, or I should say the electrical equipment, and, you know, keep it out of reach for anybody that might want to mess with it. And Larry found basically a prefab building. It's like a container, like a mini container, but it's specifically designed as an electrical equipment storage building that is available for auction, and it's currently at $80. And the auction ends in a couple of days. So Larry is actively bidding on that trailer, and hopefully we can buy that piece of equipment for, you know, who knows what, but less than $2,500. And Larry then will use his equipment to go pick it up and bring it out here, and we could use that. That way we wouldn't have to pour a concrete pad. We wouldn't have to build the enclosure at all. We would literally have a prefab building designed for electrical equipment that we could use. That's what's going on.
Anyway, if we get the building, all we got to do is run some conduit, put the individual sets of wires in, and that's not going to take long. Right, so I was planning on going up there this weekend, digging everything out, putting the wires and conduit, and possibly forming up the pad. But I'm going to wait until we find out about that building.
So if the auction goes too high, then we'll be back on that plan, and it'll be, and Brent will start working on it next week.
Yeah.
If the auction doesn't go too high, then it'll just be a matter of spending the week to make coordinate and get it moved down here and set in place. Unfortunately, I will be gone, but I can help make arrangements to get to have that happen, and then with Brent and Kurt and whoever, Crane, set it in place, go to town, and we'll have a little private spot that we can hold our meetings in.
10 by 14. If that doesn't work, is it faster, more cost effective, or not? Should you grab like a 40 foot shipping container? Probably expensive though.
Their prices have jumped up.
What a 20 footer go for these days?
The last ones I checked were like $3,500 for 20.
Really?
never mind. And those are average.
Kind of beat up ones. You want a brand new good looking one, maybe 4,000.
20 is going to cost 140 usually.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about your gas prices. Don't worry about your lumber prices. Don't worry about your housing prices. Yeah.
It's just an adjustment.
Mike, either way, whether we build one or we get the one Larry's got, I think we're going to get like three of those 2,000-pound concrete blocks and put them so nobody's back to the trailer. Yeah. So we don't flip it over and have it lay sideways.
I see what you're saying. So just a barrier along the road there.
The same kind we use for cattle guards.
Yep.
That's a
good suggestion.
Put two or three of them there. So someone's going to bring a trailer in, back it up, and hit it. And heaven help us.
All right. Well, and thank you, Brent, for working on that, doing all that work. Right?
Already stripped.
I
just don't know how tall
they are. I just need something to pick them up in.
A truck.
I chained them and drug them up the road as my pickup.
Are they long enough, tall enough to do his gate entrances?
No, you know how long you want them and how fat you want them at the bottom, but there's a whole tree, basically. We dropped the tree, took off all the branches, we stripped them. There's a few of them.
We don't fit them.
Okay. I can grab them when I drop a load of gravel.
Yeah, I have my trailer and my little tractor. I could probably get them up in my trailer. I don't know if they're out.
No, that's good. I forgot about those trees. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, they're already down. Strips. Pretty.
I think the there front. Flat
those trees. Flat those trees.
Yeah. I'll go home,
man.
I can get what he wants
to. Yeah, if you just got one end on, let's just drive it back.
You know, if you
want to
use
them.
Thanks,
okay.
We'll get them, actually.
Thanks, John.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, so that's lower cabin solar integration in process. Next item on the agenda, commercial use of lots at DSR. We had a pretty lively discussion at our meeting last month about this topic and what the board is proposing is that we basically include something in the mailing that goes out to the entire membership prior to the annual meeting and ask for all of the members essentially to vote and provide their opinion on whether or not DSR lot owners should be allowed to, you know, basically try to commercialize their lot for the primary purpose of making money.
Did we get a clarification of what that means exactly?
No, but what this would involve is basically in that mailing, sending out the information about what exists today. So, you know, this is the language from Kane County, the language from the existing DSROA bylaws. Basically, because I think part of what needs to happen is just informing the members about, you know, the issue, the topic, the question, like, why are we even talking about this? And then explaining, this is where we are today with the Kane County regulations or what DSR, you know, bylaws are already stating. And then basically, you know, we would have to formulate the wording, the questions, but basically just asking the question, you know, is what is, you know, currently in existence sufficient, and, you know, do you agree with it, or do you disagree with it, and would recommend that we, you know, alter the bylaws or make any changes to allow commercialization of DSR lots. I mean, I personally don't think it should be done. I mean, that's my personal opinion, is I don't think, and for any of you who were not here last month, this came up because Mariah and Kathy also, Kathy gets, you know, when she's showing lots, she gets asked the question all the time, you know, what can I do and what can't I do if I buy a lot at Deer Springs Ranch? And so the question really came up because there was somebody who was considering purchasing a lot at Deer Springs Ranch and literally asked the question, you know, can I put up hip camp tents and rent those tents out, you know, for the primary purpose of making money? And, you know, historically, the answer has always been no. You know, that's, you know, this is a residential community. It's not a commercial venture. And so I think it's time for us to eliminate any ambiguity. And I think the only way to really address it properly is to get all of the members involved and get all of the members, you know, opinions and votes.
Well, it requires a lot of research because I've been doing it. So, because Kane County has definitions of what things are, and they've defined what an Airbnb or a VRBO is, which is a building, which is not the same as hip camp, for instance. So a hip camp doesn't involve a building. It involves tent sites. That's camping, campground. That's recreational, or can be considered recreational. That's why I was asking for clarification as to what commercial use we're talking about. Because there's business use of a property, and then there's commercial. Just like real estate, right? You can buy residential real estate, you can buy recreational real estate, which is out here, and you can buy commercial real estate, which is to put up a Walmart, for instance. So what is that definition?
There's 50 shades of gray, yeah. And
very, very cloudy, very quickly.
We went on the Deer Springs rules, DCNRs,
yeah,
and the rules and regs, and in both sections, it says we are allowed to.
Well, kind of.
Well, we know
it doesn't say you're not, but it doesn't say you are. The CCNR say we can lease our property. We can rent our property. It doesn't give details.
And all lots shall be used, rented, leased for residential, recreational, and agricultural purposes as herein specified.
What is recreational? That's camping.
So leased for recreational purposes.
So it says that.
We can.
And then in the
and
rules.
In the rules and regs, it says there's
It says DSR already can do
member
that.
Member guests and non-association members camping on approved DSROA common ground must pay $10 per night.
So strangers.
So stranger can come to association land, pay $10, and
camp. Wherever he says they can camp. So he can say, oh, well, you're broke down. You can throw up a tent right over here. You're cool. $10, please.
So it's already in
so
there.
So it's already in there.
So
at least the HOA can do it. If the HOA can do it, why can't we do it on our own private property?
Well, I think the question being put out there is not whether or not it's currently allowed, but whether or not we as members want to allow commercialization. And the question is the use of our resources. If you're on lot 133 and you put up 11 tents, those people need restrooms, showers, and water, and roads, and everything that all the resources that we pay dues to have. And do we want to share those with other people, or are we gonna pack the heck out of them for commercial use? Or that's the question. What kind of do we want to continue to have just a community? Or do we want to go with these ventures, which are going to use our resources?
What differentiates between a guest and somebody paying you $10 a night? I can go set up 11 campsites on my property right now and invite friends and family over for free.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It still puts tax on the same resources as you're talking about.
Yeah.
But if they toss me $10 for the night, that's commercialization.
Right.
That's why I requested for a clarification as to what
what are we talking about when we say commercial use?
Well, I think first of all, you're right, and that's the problem. Is there's a lot of ambiguity, and there's not a lot of clarity about what's okay, what's not okay. But I think what we really want to get at is what the members want. You know, the members want to be able to, you know, set up 11 tents and charge people $10 a night. I don't think most people do. I think most people want this to remain a residential community and not allow commercialization, however it's defined.
Right. Jeff got a question. All right,
Jeff.
Been going on. Can somebody close their window so the rooster's outside and not inside this phone call?
We're actually outside, sorry.
Hi, this is Sally Miller. I got on the call a few minutes late, but I'm here. And if I could add my two cents to the conversation, I think in terms of owners being able to use their property for any kind of guest staying in a well-built wooden house there, or ranch or house or whatever, it just needs to be very strict, and money needs to go to the ranch too. So that's my opinion.
Thank you. What's your lot number?
Oh, my gosh. You would ask me. Offhand, I forget. I forget.
Okay.
But it's beautiful. A beautiful 28.
Could you give us your full name again, please?
Sure. It's Sally Eisen Miller. E-I-S-E-N, like Eisenhower without the Hauer. Sally Eisen Miller. I live in Houston, Texas.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sally.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry. Back to Jeff.
So,
let me just say, this could also be good PR for the ranch, because people may want to buy property there where it's available. So, but I think we need to be very strict at how we do it.
Thank you.
Mike, this is
Kathy. My family has always been an expense. So I have to come up with the annual income. Zero income off this property. If I could go and just rent 2 weeks and raise $500 and that pays my assessment, I'm very comfortable saying that's fine. But if I'm going to make $50,000 a year off of renting my lot, that's fine. But this reason, compound, there were probably 50 cars on the ranch who had no idea where they were. They were totally gone. They had no idea what
the is there an issue on the line? Because it sounds like the wind, and I can't hear, and I'd like to hear whoever's talking.
We're outside, and somebody else has the floor right now. We can't help it.
Thank you. I can hear perfectly now. Thank you.
Well, about the first holiday of the year in May, that weekend, an individual rented their lot and invited a group of over 100 people to come out. There were at least 30 to 50 cars. And they were all parading up Metal Canyon Road. They never stopped down here, because I intercepted them at the pond, because they all stopped there, like, where do we go? Where do we go? And I'd say, what are you doing? Oh, we're going to this lot. And I said, well, you need to go up and give them directions. And it was car after car after car. They were there a full week. I came up the following week, and I watched them exit. They weren't obeying the speed limits. They were pulling razors. They were pulling big RVs. Did the ranch see any of that? That, to me, should not be permitted. But if it's an individual renting the family and friends on their own property, they may even be there at the time. I think that's okay. But if you're not here on the ranch and you invite a big group out, you're responsible for their behavior, whether you're here or not, and the ranch should be aware that's going to take place.
Yeah. What resources did that group use while they were here? Were they here for a week?
They were here for a full week, and I saw them at the ponds, and they were not members. They used Meadow Canyon Road up and down, and I don't know what else they were doing, but I know that they weren't always on the lot.
Were there, what septic systems were they using? No?
The lot has septic on it.
And again, I just want to, I don't want to go too deep into this right now, but the bottom line is we want to respect owners' rights to do what they want with their lot. You know, if you want to, you know, do something where you can make a little bit of money, but not too much, you know, we want to consider that and respect that. At the same time, we don't want, at least I don't think the majority of people want Deer Springs Ranch becoming a commercial venture per se. And like, you know, Jeff was saying, you know, this is a private individual that owns a couple of lots. And like, I own a couple of lots. If I want to invite 100 people out to use my lot, and, you know, I'm, you know, not making any money off of it, then why not? You know, so there's, again, it's just, it's a thorny issue. It's a difficult issue because we do want to write. If I wanted to, you know, have a family reunion on my own property, I mean, we had a family reunion here a couple of years ago. We rented the garden cabin. So I want to have a family reunion on my property and have 100 people come to my lot. It's still 100 people on the road, still 100 people doing whatever. And like Jeff said, you know, as long as I'm controlling that, that's fine. What I think what we're really concerned about is the commercialization of lots without control. You know, where the, was it you last month that we're talking about? There's a big difference between having the owner on site with somebody who is a paying guest versus, you know, somebody who is a paying guest and has no clue about the rules and no understanding of what the expectations are. Those are two very different things.
One person recommended. Oh, sorry, Dan. Dan had a comment first.
I think what Kurt said is the key. It's the key variable. No matter what rules are put into place, is the impact on resources, because we are all paying for those resources, and you can consider, you know, peace and quiet, one of the resources.
Absolutely. And not getting run off the road.
We're all paying for. So that's the key element for me is resources.
Well, there is another section. I don't remember if it's which one it's in, the CCNRs or whatever. It says that you can't be obnoxious and annoying and blah, blah, blah to your neighbors, a nuisance. But it doesn't clarify what that is, because what I think is a nuisance, you may not, right? If somebody fires up their tractor at 7 o'clock in the morning, but I'm trying to sleep, and I can hear it, that's a nuisance.
Well, that's going to be you firing up your tractor at 7 o'clock.
Well, yeah. If you're lucky if I wait till 7.
We were out at Bob Becker's place, and I could hear music, just very faintly, like, just stupid people, I'm paying stupid people and their music. I could barely
hear
it, but
hear,
it was irritating.
Yeah, because out here, the sound travels, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But there's no real clarification.
Well, we're never going to have a perfect clarification. I mean, you're always going to have to be nice and friendly and say, hey, I'm sorry, would you please go shut that, turn the music down or whatever.
I like the way the CCNRs are written, because it says that we're subject to county zoning ordinances, the building department, say land use authority, but we would have land use authority, we'd have wildlife interface, all these other entities. So we're subject to all of that stuff. When the board or when the HOA gets involved, it's a slippery slope as to whether, as an HOA, we're encroaching on somebody else's liberties, stepping out of line, And that's why people hate HOAs, right? Because they do that. And where do you draw the line? Where do you stop and say, okay, well, that's enough. We won't step over this time. I think it's worded perfect. I highlighted it on these papers. It's worded perfectly.
Yeah.
Like we're in a critical position, especially talking about electing new directors. There are new pressures at Deer Springs that we haven't known before, but they're here, and directors are real key. I don't know if you have time in your schedule or 10 minutes of suggestions or orientation or history. It's kind of where we are, either before your board report or while you're discussing the roads and situation and directors. I
don't know that we need 10 minutes, but, I mean, if you have something to say, this is the time to say it.
Are you meaning now or at the annual meeting or?
Right now.
Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you have something to say, say it. Now it's fine.
All yours, Dale. Tear him up.
While he's grabbing his stuff out, there have been dozens of people making suggestions, some saying, you know, owners on site only, no one-day rental type things, maybe week minimums or once a month. You know, how do we get into all that, and then who becomes the police enforcement, and how do we regulate? We don't want Jeff making glamping campsites with tents, but somebody on this other lot is carving wooden slingshots out of oak and selling them on eBay. Is that commercialization use of this lot? Does that encroach on our resources? If somebody's having a family reunion and everybody's fishing at the ponds, but they're not charging them anything. There's, like I said, there's 50 shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
And where do we come in on the spectrum?
Well, you've got people like us that don't have a lot of visitors or guests that come out here. And then you have other people that have full-blown family reunions. We're paying the same. Your guests are using the resources just the same as ours. And I'm not saying anything about that. But is it fair? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Anissa?
So maybe there ought to be some numeration when there are lots of people that come using resources like fishing or whatever.
Sally, somebody else has the floor right now. Can you hold on a moment? And then we'll come to you.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No short-term rental, which they defined as less than 30 days. You can, like, so if we decided we didn't want to live here anymore, I can rent my house to somebody.
Right.
So I had said in the last board meeting, what's the difference? If I have somebody coming in every single day and leaving every single day, or if I rent my house for 30 days and somebody's coming and going every single day to town, what's the difference?
Well, you would know that person coming in every for the whole month rather than you're getting so many different people every night. And I know because I run a vacation rental in Canal. So the difference is huge because you can set rules to those, but then you have somebody you're constantly having to tell the rules to every night.
Right.
Yeah, so there's a big difference.
Right. It's kind of like our cabins.
Yeah. But you have somebody here to watch all them. Is he going to watch everybody else's?
Because it's private property.
To do it, I can tell you right now, everyone's going to want to do it. Like that, I can prove tons of places in Park City where it's turned into that.
Correct.
Yeah. So.
Or Duck Creek.
Yeah,
correct.
Duck Creek is another place.
Yeah. And we don't want to be like
that. Yeah, no one wants that.
So, but yet, I as a member don't want to see the HOA overstepping either.
Right.
It's a slippery slope, right?
The proposal here is that we put it up for a membership vote.
Yeah.
So the membership decides what we do, not the HOA.
and again, a big part of this is just educating people.
Yeah.
And, you know, the owner that had a group of 100 come up and create problems, you know, that owner was talked to. And, you know, eyeball to eyeball, that owner was talked to and said, hey, this was a problem. It happened. And that owner is now noticed that, you know, they need to make sure it doesn't happen again. And that's the difference, because you have an owner who is responsible for
what happens on the law.
Okay, let's
give Dale the floor here.
I agree. Let's give Dale the floor. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to find a place to where everyone can kind of see and hear. Love these things, Mike. Have been talked about, re-talked about, and re-talked about. And there are three or four people here who have endured these for 40 years. A lot of you are kind of new, but there's a few others that have faced these same challenges for 40 years. I'm only going to show you a couple of things that you need to decide where you want to go from there. I like the idea that he says, what does the members really want? Here's a presentation made in 08 discussing these same things. Here's a follow-up PowerPoint on 09. There's a similar one done in 2014. Some of these things have been studied to death. America is still a beautiful place for owning land, and that's why all of us are here, is because we have an opportunity to own land. This started out as a Clarkson development, and here's the people who financed it. Here's the Finley contract where we bought the ranch from the Finley family, and here's other things as it progressed. Through the county and through the state in a nonprofit Utah corporation, and those things are there. And again, I'm not going to go through this. You guys can ask if you want to. But there's phase one. All of you have seen that map. You know what phase one and what the program was at Deer Springs. I still think it's as good as could be. For cabin space, fishing, running two steers at one time. All these things are here, and I'd say that $50,000 has been spent on this kind of research. Maybe nobody's interested in it, but it's going to happen in Deer Springs and what's going on here. There was then a phase two. What happened in phase one? All of you know. Phase two hasn't happened. And I have here a map that Vance Green was kind to draw and beautiful new map. And it tells a story relative to phase two. Some of you may be interested, some of you may not. But this we can look at and show and tell.
You have copies of that?
Yes.
Okay.
However, then, I don't want to release them until Mike and the board make some decisions on where we are. But they're here. I have copies. And along that line, the reason I wanted to mention this today, it's my plan from a marketing standpoint to send one of these maps to 300 lot owners. Maybe make the hair stand up on the back of the neck. They may say, it's time, or whatever.
I hardly have any hair left.
So, phase two. And the reason I mention that now, phase two, I think, is going to be under these directors. And I think they need to be very strong, it's well researched and to give leadership to a multi-million dollar ship that has been created at Deer Springs Ranch. This involved a couple of months, and it just says history. What is the history of Deer Springs, other than Joe and Candy and Dan and two or three? You guys weren't here for the first 30 years. So what happened during that first 30 years? What kind of set the level of where we're going and what we're doing? And some of it was cast in concrete, and it's just going to change. There are people coming in. I had people this last year that think they have the answers, and they're going to tell us what to do and what not to do. The master plan was designed and is still there. My question, Mike, is whether you want to follow the master plan or whether you want to create a new master plan today. Who's going to do these changes? Who's going to do the things that are in front of us today? And how do we settle some of these differences? Who gets to make the decision or dictate or community, you know, committee formulate these? I think it can be done, and I think it can be done without a lot of aggravation, and if we want to. As human beings, we have the privilege and free agency to make some of these decisions. Excuse me, let me finish here one more item then.
I got a statement to make on the 57 minutes only. I think we all have the right to see that and move that board. Just start sliding into the board and all of a sudden the board presents up. I think if you've got you're trying to do something here and you're trying to change it, I think we all as bondholders have the right to know what you're trying to do and not like well it's the board out.
Agree 100%. There was a cute little comment that I got off a magazine. And all of you are here for this reason. The majority of today's ranch property values are determined solely based on their location and the average price of neighboring sales, and not their trophy or residential or recreational potential. While this method may be deemed appropriate in residential real estate, this is a massive area of oversight by many ranch brokerages. More often than not, we find that recreational value often far exceeds the property's agriculture or income value. This old cattle ranch, for three generations, what did it generate? Not very much. It's a home now for wonderful people, and the challenge that I had as the owner-developer, how do you change an old cattle ranch into a family playground? What things have to happen? How do you pay for it? What do you do? How do you keep people from fighting? How do you do different things? I think it can be done, and I think the responsibility is on the board of directors. They're the ones that have this. A lot of their responsibilities, however, has ended up as custodian. If you look at most of the members and most of the minutes and things, in the last several years, their responsibilities and the thing that's taking their time is custodial. How to take care of a building or a bed or a fish pond or something. However, this map, and I'll show it to you, in 1978, and I have the deed here, in 1978, we decided to put 6,000 acres into 300 lots, and we did it, and we marketed those. 2,000 acres, and all the water, and the grazing permits, and all the buildings, I and my wife deeded to who? I and my wife deeded all of those assets to a non-profit Utah corporation. And guess what? They're still there. So if you want to look at the deed, if you want to look at the corporate papers, if you want to look at the county relationship, all that's available for any of you that wants to do it. If you say, hey, I don't care, I have my one lot, and I don't even want to talk about those things. The future of Deer Springs requires some of us to look at the papers, to know what happened, and to make some big decisions. It's not a matter of a little decision. It's a matter of decision relative to major, major changes. Along this line, I get this second down. Along this line, I think some proposals should be voted on at the annual meeting. I think that you or I or somebody could suggest proposals that would quiet the water on some of these issues so the membership can vote on it. But I think that somebody has got to author the proposals, get them written up, and enjoy the freedom of the membership voting on all those things. So that's just my simple rundown on it. Dale?
Dale, I want to thank you for establishing this conference. And I just have a quick comment on HOAs.
Can you come up closer to the...
Yeah. Democracy is often, or maybe always, messy. But I think the democracy here is just about as perfect as it gets, as messy as it's been in the past. So I'm grateful for the board of directors and the process here, because I think it is an exercise in local democracy.
Thank you, Dan.
I agree.
Dale, I want to thank you. You said something pivotal and important. You designated this place from the foundation as a family playground, to quote mm-hmm. you, which you said just a few moments ago. I left Leverk in Utah because of the crowd, the congestion, the chaos, the noise, the all of it. I came here to spend what I hope to be last years of my life in a peaceful, quiet, beautiful environment, a place where my grandkids can come up and have that family playground. I think what needs to happen with this whole issue is to identify the primary purpose of Deer Springs Ranch, and if it is a family playground, we already have our answer.
Would you like that to continue?
That is my point entirely, yes.
Chance.
May I make a suggestion?
Yes, go ahead.
And would people identify, since I'm on the phone and can't see people, if people would identify who they are, I would appreciate it. So I'm Sally Miller from Houston. I would suggest that I'm on a POA in my neighborhood, which functions very, very well. anyway, I suggest with all the comments that I've heard so far that there be a committee that get together to bring the bring information to a board meeting or maybe the annual meeting, and I will volunteer to be on the committee.
Sally, appreciate you and your good husband, Doctor. She was one of the early fighters.
Thank you, Dale.
She came here on vacation, and she bought this from Dale, yes. Sally, nice to hear from you. There are
it's
a lot of other people.
It's good to hear from you, Dale. Thank you.
Just like her, that wants to continue, like was said here, as a family playground. And it's not going to come just falling out of the sky. People have got to step forward and put some intelligence and brain power in what we can do. And the basic, there's been, like I say, $50,000 worth of research and study this last 12 months on Deer Springs as it is, Deer Springs maybe it should be. And there's a comment on that yellow pad that says Deer Springs has changed. The economy has changed. And today, we're dealing with ATVs, which we didn't deal with when you started. And we're dealing with cows in the swimming pool. We're dealing with a lot of things that we didn't. You and I can make the right decision if we just spend a little time. It's not going to happen automatically. I'm not going to make the decisions. I can certainly tell, as some of you can, what happened 30, 40 years ago, how the master plan was set up, and where we're going, or these folks last year can remake the whole program, but I'd like for them to pay for it if they do. We've already paid for what we've got here now, and the opportunity is wild and available and beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dale.
Sally, this is Mike. My wife and I own lot 270. We've been owners up here for 5 years. So, Dale, thank you for that. I want to say this is the first time when you mentioned it I've ever heard about anything about a Deer Springs Ranch Phase 2. I mean, that's first time I ever heard anything about a Phase 2, and so I'd obviously like to learn more. The other thing I want to mention for everyone's benefit is at our annual meeting last year, one of the questions that was asked of all of the nominees was, are you in favor of further development of Deer Springs Ranch? And every single nominee, at least I think, said yes, subject to what that improvement or development might be. So I think everybody on the board today is willing to consider, you know, possible development and, you know, possible improvements. At the same time, I think the fundamental and foundational concept is the family playground. That's why I bought at Deer Springs Ranch. You know, I bought for the same reasons that you did. You know, peace and quiet, and to I love what John Harris said on the video for Deer Springs Ranch on the website, is that this property will never be sold. You know, I mean, he said that when he and Sunshine were being interviewed for that video on DeerSprings.com. And that's my feeling as well. I bought here so that this can become part of my legacy for my family. And that's why I'm willing to volunteer and help to make sure that happens. And I know that's the same for most people.
Hey, I agree we should have improvements. My improvements run along with Brent. Put electricity, mouse-proof cabins. I do not want to see it go commercial where people are up there fishing. I go over there fishing. Which cabin you in? Oh, I was just driving by. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear I'm in cabin 3. I'm a relative of so-and-so. This is a family thing. We got to keep it a family thing. Making it commercial and renting out to people with tents. They're going to catch our fish. They're going to ruin our roads. They're going to throw trash. Larry, me, and a couple other people pick up all the trash around here. They don't care. They just throw aluminum cans and bottles everywhere. Improvements are improving on what we got, not changing it to commercial. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Thank
you, Joe. You do realize we already have that.
Yeah, well, we got to slow it down.
Well, they'll say agents just send people out here. Hey, go check out the place. Here's lots for sale. Have a nice day.
We got to slow it down and stop it.
All right. I think we've covered that enough. And obviously, as I said last time, it's a hot topic and definitely needs to be discussed in more detail. Next item on the follow-up, DSR road maintenance, safety and signage. John's not here, so he would give you an update that he is doing some work on the roads.
Yeah, I talked to John. As far as the roads go.
Did you all get his email?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought I was going to print it and bring it, and I couldn't get my printer to print out. But you can just paraphrase what he said.
Well, I don't know all of it, but as far as the roads go, like John and I talked, you can make the roads wider. Cars will drive faster. If we put more gravel on it, the cars will drive faster. If we put blacktop on it, cars will drive faster. All we can do is make the roads so they're not as damaging to our vehicles, lower the speed limit, and post it. If somebody gets in an accident, at least we posted it. And if we go to court, we've tried to stop them. If we do anything else, they'll just drive faster. So making the roads wider and better doesn't train somebody to drive better. We have to put signage up, and hopefully the people that own here are more diligent in taking care of it.
Yeah, there certainly may be some areas on the roads that need to be widened a little bit. There's, you know, certain specific areas that are particularly bad.
Visual, line of sight.
But, you know, one of the most important things, in my opinion, is we need a lot more signage. And so we're going to put up more signage, you know, slow down, blind corner ahead. You know, I think if we, you know, there's some very easy things we can do to try to slow people down. You know, basically scare them into slowing down. You know, blind corner ahead, you know, speed limit 10 miles an hour, whatever. You know, so there are definitely things that we can do short of widening all of Meadow Canyon Road, and we're already in the process of doing that. But again, if there are certain areas that are particularly bad and need to be addressed, then I think we all agree that, you know, we should probably do that.
I have a question about, so Meadow Canyon is nice and wet versus some of the other ranch roads that we've been on, including ours. But when we were doing our driveway, the building department kept asking, like, if they wanted measurements, how wide it is, and where turnouts are. Are some of these roads even legal, if you will, within the current codes putting in roads?
There really isn't a code, but if you were to go by county standards, I think the county standard road width is 25 or 28 feet.
28.
BLM standard is 50 feet. That doesn't mean a flat paved or graveled road 50 feet wide, but you have drainage, you know, water control on each side. I think it allows for about a 25 foot driving surface and 15 feet or so each side for, you know, to keep your limbs and branches back and line of sight, and
okay.
Partially becomes a fire break.
Two cars each other without somebody being in
the ditch. Right.
Right?
Some of the roads aren't like
that. Some of the roads are definitely are not like that.
It never will be.
Yeah.
So.
That way.
Well, some of them, well, like our road, it's kind of, it's hard because if we're pulling water tanks or anything like that up or down, there's nowhere to go.
Right.
And a lot of times I just use my two-wheel drive truck, so I can't just go off into the ditch. If I do, I'm not going nowhere. So I make somebody else go around. Hopefully they got a four-wheel drive, but
Particularly just, for example, Broad Hollow Road, you and Brent have limbed and trimmed the beginning section of it, but it needs to be not just limb and trim. There still needs to be some dirt work done through that lower section. But beyond Brent's turnoff, on up around to your intersection, another width of trees need to come out of there just to make it passable by two vehicles, one going up and one going downhill.
You know, I know a guy with a bulldozer can handle that.
With a broken arm?
With only one arm.
I know a guy with a bulldozer that can show me how to drive it, and I can handle that.
Well, I think there's, we all agree that there are certain areas on the road that need to be addressed, and I think what we really need to do is put together a plan, because I don't know that there really is a plan. You know, first of all, identify, you know, what are the priorities, you know, what are the worst areas, and let's address those first, and then I know. Every year, there's money spent on roads. And like Dale said a while ago, I think most of what we do is just maintenance. You know, we're just trying to maintain what we already have, keeping a good working order. And then the question beyond that is, you know, what do we need for improvement? That's a separate question.
Well, I do believe that's what Tom does. That's how he works it, and he works it on a yearly basis, a five-year basis. He has all that.
Oh, he has a plan? Okay, good. Yeah.
He's working on that plan.
Great.
So his idea of maintenance is something that hadn't happened before. So it is functioning.
Gotcha.
But unless there are places like, you know, Jeff are talking about, I'm not aware of it. I don't know what John is, but a lot of people do talk to him and tell him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he does work with a plan or a plan.
Cool.
One thing before Dale's comment, that we've talked about as a board and going to be bringing to the membership is two things: little work projects, association related work projects, and private lot, private owner work projects, like the old barn raising, so to speak. We pick somebody out, like pools, and you know they just haven't been able to get up there and clean up their fire. Potential fire hazard. So Friday, October 4th, I don't even know if that's Friday, but whatever. anybody that wants to come help out, lend a hand, we're going to go do this project. Or we're going to do a project over in Slide Canyon, or we're going to do a project in Crawford, or we're going to do a project on Association Broad Hollow Road, or
right here,
this road, or this yard, or somewhere. And people can make that suggestion to say, hey, I've noticed. I mean, obviously, Joe and Candy don't go up Broad Hollow. Maybe they go visit Brent once in a while, but they never go to visit you guys. But they know what the issues are on their road, and you know what the issues are on your road, and Dan knows what the issues are going up into his road.
I know what the issues are going up into his road. He needs gravel, because he's got some nasty rocks going up that sucker.
Yeah. So those things are what we're going to be working toward in the future with specific days. And any one of those particular things, okay, the ranch could hire me as a private contractor to go fix Broad Hollow Road, but that's going to cost X number of dollars. You can pay me a lot less dollars to do the tractor work, and 10 or 2 people can show up and limb and trim and pick up rocks that I don't have to chase around in a, you know, $125 an hour bulldozer, because I'll just chase one stick all day long.
You know, you say that because that's actually kind of why we're out here. We were hoping that this was going to be a community that's kind of like or gets like that.
Well, I hope
all you guys were when I was building my house by myself.
I was there. I was there. Okay. But I hope you see. I hope you see that that's getting more like that than it was a year ago, which is more like it was a year prior. That's the direction we're trying to go. So,
just so you know, Joe kicks those big rocks in the road. Stop. Get that. Puts them out there.
On his road? Oh, yeah. See, I've been kicking them off the road. Sorry, I made more work.
Joe
kicked
them
back
on the road.
Okay, Dale had something to add.
Let me see. Yes. sometimes we have to kind of start a program. You might remember 2 or 3 years ago, I committed $50,000 to items here on the ranch. I've only spent $35,000 of that. There's $15,000 still in that kitty. And I've made arrangements for another because Larry's goofing off up in Alaska. Another man has the same size of a bulldozer that Jeff can look at. But the possibility of having gone, like certain areas, that's Joe Taylor, I could pay this other debt not to widen the running base on the road, but to make room so somebody could pull off in an emergency. If we're going to have more ATVs and more wild drivers or whatever else. And so to kickstart this thing, if that, I'd like for the board to consider that, is I would go ahead with the other $15,000 in that particular kitty and use that on the bulldozer coming in to remove these trees that Larry just mentioned, to widen some areas so people could get off in certain places. There are places they cannot get off at all because there's a big ditch or a gully there, but there are places where they could get off. And Larry doesn't have any more time to, or we'd have him flag some, but John and Joe just look right with the red paintbrush or whatever, some areas where we could talk about doing some immediate cat work and not again changing the road bed that you're driving on, but to daylight it a little bit and make it available. So I suggest that as a thing for you to consider.
Thank you for offering that.
You need the spelling of my name?
Okay, we're almost done. Just a little bit more. We are down to the item number 7 on the agenda, brief report of areas of responsibility by each board member. I'll go first. I just have a couple of things that haven't been talked about already. One is the possibility of creating, for lack of a better term, a DSR fire brigade. We are trying to get the fire truck, fire engine operational again. Where are we at in the process?
Pump gas, get the battery placed, and fire's right up on wood. And I emphasis on old. Probably close to as old as I am. Not quite. And I'm going to put one of my pumps on there temporarily. And, you know, it's only 250 gallons, but we can haul water around. I am, I've already told you in the email, I'm not in favor of forming a fire brigade. I'm in favor of members putting their effort into limbing, trimming, and thinning their lots. And, having this available, I don't want people to think because we have it available, it's covered. Oh, we don't have to worry about fire. We get it running. We'll have it running. I've got my big truck over there with a 750-gallon tank on it. Got it set up so it's at the right height that I can actually dump water from my truck into the fire truck. It's gravity feed. Regardless of what we do, it's still only going to be 1,000 gallons of water, and that's not going to do much. Put out a single tree fire, we can do a couple things like that. Our effort really needs to go in. Yes, I want people to know how to drive it. Yes, I want people to know how to start the pump. But more importantly, I think people need to put their effort into limiting, trimming, thinning, and their ingress, egress routes. It's because the fire guys are going to come out here. And if your ingress egress is not urban wildland interface code, they're going to not even bother to come up to your property. They're not going to risk their equipment and people to go up there.
And so that's the biggest thing that people need to be working. We should have a truck operational by the end of next week.
One thing that Brent pointed out, and he knows best, being the expert in the fire, he mentioned in his email that if he wasn't a firefighter, then he'd be a professional arsonist. And I think there's still a little underlying
overlap.
There's been two or three people I've worked with over in Slide Canyon that want to worry about, you know, making sure this hose works. And I said, look, if there is a fire, the only thing you can do is leave.
Yeah.
There's not a chance with a garden hose that you're going to save anything, and it may cost you your life. If you prevent fire, you're winning. You're not going to extinguish a fire. So put your time and effort into fire prevention, cleanup. Everybody, when I work on their lots, they're like, I want to save this tree and that tree and this tree and that tree.
Pull them down.
Okay, so just to clarify a little bit, Candy, I'll be with you in a sec. So this came up in my mind because, we're working on the fire truck. So, well, we have a fire truck, so what happened 20 years ago? Was there a fire brigade 20 years ago? I don't know. I don't know what happened. But my oldest brother retired after over 30 years on the fire department in Newport Beach. I lived in Alaska for several years, and I was a member of the volunteer fire department. We built our cabin 6.5 miles up the dirt road. We were at least 10 miles away from the nearest official fire department. And so for 4 years, I was a member of the volunteer fire department. Not once did I ever go fight a fire. Not once. But we had shovels, we had fire truck available, and like Brent said, and I agree with him 100%, most of our time was not spent fighting fires, it was spent preventing fires. And so my thought is, you know, basically putting something together, strictly volunteer, but, you know, kind of getting back to what you were talking about, Jeff, with, you know, kind of a volunteer, you know, get together once a month, you know, what is the correct county fire access? I don't know. And, you know, in my opinion, I think, you know, there are probably 2, 3, 4 people on the ranch that really kind of understand even what the resources are. Where is the water? You know, is there water available in Slide Canyon somewhere that we could tie into if we had to? And it's really, you know, the primary purpose in my mind would be education and prevention. And also, you know, having some fun. You know, we used to get together once a month, and sometimes we'd have barbecue and have all the family come. And, you know, so, again, in my mind, it's one of those things that doesn't exist today on Deer Springs Ranch, but I think it could be very beneficial for the future for the people who want to participate. Andy.
I had a question. Would be a good idea if people have water, if they have a tank there, to make sure that they, during the fire season, have that tank to make it available for someone, let's blow it off the top. Hey, we have a 1 gallon. Keep it that way in case someone needs it. That's irrelevant, Brent. You don't think that's even necessary?
It gets really, I try to keep things simple in my own mind. The hardest thing I do every month, the hardest thing I do is to come down to this meeting. I mean, no one's about it. The hardest thing I do is to come down to this meeting. And anyway, my point is, and Larry brought it up, is yes, Jenny, that would be beneficial all the way around. As long as everybody has, as long as we're adapter capable meeting, we can. You know, one guy is using one system, somebody else is using some other system, somebody else isn't using something else. And so if everybody gets together and says, okay, yeah, we're all gonna use a 2-inch camp approach.
But 10,000 gallons of water doesn't do the fire crew any good if they're having to pour it in their hand and throw it in the truck.
Anyway, the point is that when you talk to the fire people around here, things I always look at is this. The very first thing we need to do if we have a fire is make sure someone's home. I can tell you $5 million ROI fires that I put on. Now people were standing around watching them, thinking that everyone else was all
Everybody is responsible.
That goes directly to the Color Country Interagency Fire Dispatch Center.
What's that number again?
435 865 4611. The reason you should call there directly, not go to 911, is because then 911. Or you call the sheriff's non-emergency dispatch, and they relay the information. And you know the old guy,
telephone
information. It doesn't, you know.
I'm having a baby on I-15. Oh, there's a fire out in. But again, Brent, this is exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, before today, how many people knew that phone number? Raise your hand.
Right.
How many people knew that phone number?
Yeah, we got it written down. I didn't have it memorized.
Well,
I got it.
Well, you've been here for 40 years.
But my point is this, okay? The very first thing we need to do is call, okay? Second thing we need to make sure we do, and one of the reasons why I'm
done.
Identify where the fire is and give them good information on how to get in. Okay. I wouldn't bother to talk about your own limbing and trimming and thinning and your own fire mitigation. That you should be doing without question. Your ingress, egress, you should be doing without question. And then at the last resort, we're going to go around, and if we can, yes, we'll mobilize. Bring your shovel, bring your chainsaw. You come down here and get the fire truck. Most important thing, we call first because we want to have help come. All right, we do all those things, and then what we do, I'm looking at it from the standpoint of this. We form a fire brigade, and we don't, and somebody's in it, trained, or they're in it, they don't have any information whatsoever. You know, how much time and effort do we want to go into that, or how much time and effort do we want to put in to make sure that someone can get in and out of here, meaning you get out. Fire crews can get you. That's more important than just about anything else. If you can say, if it's a single three, then you can take care of everything for it. If it's anything more than that, you need to mobilize yourself and get out of the way. We're going to be coming, and we don't want to be broke down in the middle. We don't want to have Jeff broke down on Broad Hollow with his truck and trailer sitting in the middle of Broad Hollow. We want Jeff gone before they even come out. So, anyway. I'm in favor of anything you do, but the responsibility really lies on you. Take care of your own fire mitigation first, and then we'll and then kind of sort its way back out.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Is there a way to encourage that? Like, I know we've talked about the chipper and all these other things, that the slash pile that we're not supposed to put slash into from our private lots. Is there something that we can set up to help encourage some of that?
Well, I think what I brought up or Larry brought up about having, okay, a lot of, we're getting a whole lot of new members here. I'm going to be kind of brutal. And I don't really care about friends. Anyway, I'll be kind of brutal. A lot of these people look out here and they think, oh, this is just exactly what I want. They don't have a clue. Okay. Now, that's not saying they can't learn. That's not saying anything else. A lot of these people, they'll come out here and they'll see, oh, well, I've got all these trees. I want to cut down one of those trees. When I'm looking at these trees, I'm looking at them as weeds. You know, they got to if they got to come down, they got to come down, they got to come down. So, a lot of people don't know. And I think one of the very first things we do is when you got a new member, encourage them to talk to other people about what they need to do. Get their limits.
offer our services, and we go in and we say, just a couple of us come over, and we're going to cut this thing down. I just don't want to see tears. and do that. But that's, yes, that's a way to encourage. But once again, it comes back to this personal responsibility. People need to take responsibility on their own and just go to town on it.
Some of these may be the projects that I'm talking about that we do as neighborhoods,
yep.
as association.
Yep.
Somebody get a portable gas-operated ice cream maker, and their job is to make homemade ice cream while all of us cut, limb, and trim, and chip, and then...
Well, the other thing is, it's been said, put any patch in the slash pile. So you're going to have all the members limping and trimming, and nothing to do.
Yeah, but I think it's just going to be a mess of dead crap laying on the ground.
We already got that.
We have dead crap piled up in a pile over here, and live crap right next to my house.
And most of your lots, I guarantee you, I can find 10 places that dead crap would be beneficial in erosion control, silt control, knockdown. I mean, anything that's higher than 18 inches off the ground, in my mind, is a fire hazard. If it's below that level, the chances of it being a raging blaze is minimal. Filling up washes, erosions, and especially somebody like you with a little tractor that can put some dirt on it and start catching the runoff. And
we our slash pile, cover our whole.
And that's only from doing the house area. If I ran through the whole property, just limbing everything down below, I would have a whole property.
You're trying to catch up, make up for 40 years of a lack of goat herd eating everything.
So, since it's brought up, you had mentioned the reciprocity idea. Did you mention it to the rest?
We talked about it briefly last meeting or something, but...
Nada.
Never went any further. Well, I'll get back on it.
What is the chipper?
There was a chipper, the old style, called the Chuck and Ducks, donated to the ranch years ago by Don Busboom. It was run out here a half dozen times. I took it into town to put a new fuel pump on it and get it running last year. And while I had it in there, I was going to put the blades off and try to get them sharpened. And I disassembled everything I can find to disassemble, and I cannot get the blade out. And it's an old enough unit that it's been replaced by 20 different models. And so I got to a point where the association had discussed that it's a pretty scary machine. There's been...
That particular one has more injuries and deaths to it than any other people.
Like, last year, there were two guys in California, one guy in New York that the machine ate. Killed. Dead. Gone. Not to say that it's not a good machine, but I'm not comfortable turning it loose. And as an association, the board said, we're not comfortable letting just everybody take it and use it.
Here's what I suggest. I mean, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are professionals that do this kind of stuff. Why not?
Right.
Well, I mean, if we were to schedule a time and say, hey, you come out to the ranch and you're going to have 20 owners who are all going to bring their stuff to you, or 20 owners.
I don't know. We've never been able to get that far because we can't.
Chris Nielsen coming out.
That's who it is.
Chris Nielsen, that's the son-in-law of Ford.
Paul Ford's son-in-law.
Oh, yeah. Ford.
Yes.
Janae.
Hey, Mike.
Okay, so, yes.
This is Kathy.
Well, hey, Kathy, welcome. We checked to see if you were on early on. You must have gotten on a little bit after the start.
I registered her.
Oh, good.
Right after the start, yeah. It's been hard to get on to talk. So I just wanted to see about the possibility, and maybe it's been really hard to hear, so maybe it's been discussed. But if we had, like, different areas and they all – went ahead and limbs and did the tree thing, and then they, whoever you guys have agreed that can use this spreader that could bring it out, and then everybody just do it at the same time and save everybody from hauling all their wood up to wherever the spreader is. You can go ahead and do that. Would that be something feasible? And that would kind of put a little bit of a time frame for, okay, if this area is going to do it this time, we need to get busy and trim up our trees and limb them and do what we've got to for the fire. See if that would help.
I think that's the right way to do it. We just need to schedule it, plan for it. If we have somebody that's willing to help, we really just need to, you know, put it together.
Okay.
You know, the ideal machine out here is a forestry mulcher. The big old thing on the front, so he just drives up to your pile of branches and...
Yeah, that's... Norris Church has three of them.
Oh, really?
And he works them all winter long, but they just sit in the summer.
Yeah, because they'll limp in and trim your tree.
And mulch and chip.
They'll just...
Well, it's not quite that clean of an operation.
And it might throw a chunk of firewood this big through your house.
Yeah, you don't want one of those things around your house.
Yeah. I've watched them on YouTube. Those things are wicked.
The ventilation. That's when they're old and have been used and they're not quite as sharp as they should be.
Maybe we can get them to come do brush hogging along the road.
Yeah, I know Norris would do that. Yeah. He must have his equipment working here around.
Couldn't you contact him and ask him about doing this as a project that would help working with us?
Yeah, I think we have owners that are willing, and we just need to put together a program and schedule.
The one thing I just remembered, I've been looking at over time, at the north end of the airstrip hill where you drop off to the gravel pit, at one time we had a dump landfill around the corner, and it just in the last month I've noticed that wash has eroded and cut up through the valley half mile long. Our limb and trim pile, we should push portions of it into that wash and bury it to create a silt trap, and then there are places on the ranch where we could dump all kinds of limb and trim slash. We just have got to stop dumping it in a big pile that becomes unsightly, hazardous, fire problem. So maybe we can make a little effort to create a spot where people could pull up and dump. But they can only, if we do this, it needs to be limb and trim slash stuff, not a few extra 2x4s and a piece of sheet off and a bag of garbage and two old mattresses. And I mean, I spent
we had at least 14 old mattresses.
I spent 2 days digging mattresses out of the slash pile to load back on a trash trailer to haul to town just to keep the county from screaming at us when we were going to burn the slash pile. But anyway, that's there are places that the erosion is out of control. So, Dan.
A couple of years ago, Brent came out to my place and to have a look about the fire hazard there. And he said it looked okay. And my slash pile was far enough away from the building site that it wasn't a problem. So maybe Brent could go out with all of the new owners to their property and educate them about the fire hazard. And just think, he could make a lot of new friends.
Go to his house. Hang out with him.
Brent, put the gun down.
One of the
one of the other things I think will be beneficial. Everybody knows we're in the process putting together a new website for the association, and I think with that website we can do a lot of training and education. I mean, we could literally put together a video thing. You know, if your tree is closer than 10 feet, whatever it is, it's too close. Even if you love it.
Starring Brent, you know, the sort of the human equivalent of Smokey the Bear. it's actually 30 feet.
No, 30 feet. So whatever it is. Whatever it is.
30 feet. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we obviously have some work to do with that. Kurt, did you have anything you wanted to add?
I'm good.
Okay. Kathy, was there anything you want? Kathy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Is there anything that you want? I know you haven't, you didn't hear everything, but is there anything in particular that you want to make sure you cover?
No, I think we've pretty much got it. I didn't know if you were doing the responsibility areas. Everything's good there too. So.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Okay,
and
thank
I
you.
Told her and I texted her what we talked about on that other.
Okay, Joe.
I got a couple things. One, the ranch bought a couple of screen doors, and I actually picked them out because they were cheaper. They weren't fully welded, so I welded them together, and I put a screen door on cabin 3, and I put a screen door on cabin 4, so you could actually leave the door open at night, let some of the air come in. But we're going to have to put some door molding on it because they weren't quite set up for that yet. But 3 and 4 now have screen doors on them. Number 4, I've hired Jeff and Tina. They're going to put a concrete wallboard around cabin 4 to try to keep the mice from going into that one. So when it becomes available, no longer occupied, they're going to go up and do that for us. Other than that, I think that's about it.
Okay. John Harris is not here. We already talked about an update on roads. Cindy.
Okay, so if we've kind of been skirting around, not intentionally, not dancing around, I mean intentionally, we've been coming up to the edges of the new developing volunteer program, and it's about member volunteers. It's about what skills do you have, what training do you have that you can contribute to the community. It's about putting together some plans and programs for community involvement. Things. If one of our owners is unable to take care of something on their lot because of their age or distance, and yet we as a group want that lot improved for some reason, then we can get together and make those improvements. We can come together and work on straightening out some of the things here at the ranch, picking up some trash, that kind of stuff. So that program, we're just getting rolling. There will be an interface with the new website about that, and I'm starting to collect information on members that want to volunteer and what kinds of things they can either donate or, you know, what kind of time, when are they available, what are their skills. I'm starting to put that together with Mariah's help. So that's kind of the new volunteer program. Outside of that program, ahead of things, I want to give a shout out to Joe and Candy, Jeff and Tina Collins, Bob Hedman, Jennifer Scherer, and Brent for all the work you put into Cabin 6. It's lovely. It's almost done. It's really cute. I don't know if you've all had a chance to see it now that most of the work is done. It's a real cute cabin. I think people are going to enjoy staying there.
Thank you.
What's that?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It's been booked nonstop.
Well, the best thing to
we'll just go see it. Yeah,
the best thing to do is take some pictures, and I've talked to Mariah about this. As cabins get updated, you should take pictures and be part of the website, put it in the newsletter, something, or even on the website, so people realize what is there, what's been done, and if they can contribute something, that'd be great too.
Yeah.
But I think that should
That's
be something that we follow through with. Has not been done.
Cabin 3 still looks
like. On the website. Not in real life.
Yeah. Well, part of the new website is updating all of those
pictures. Right.
And we still got to finish. We got to do something upstairs.
Yeah, on the site, not in the cabin. The cabin looks great.
Cabin 2 is very nice. It needs a new kitchen. Cabin 3 is lovely. Cabin 6 now is adorable. Cabin 7. We had family stay in Cabin 7, and they were astounded at how fantastic it was and how inexpensive and how great it was being here at the ranch. So kudos back to Kathy for that, for previous years, and everybody else who helps on that.
Thank you, Cindy.
Kitchen and six before you put them in the counters?
Because
there's only a couple cabinets, isn't there?
Wouldn't be. I'm
going to refinish those. Okay. And it's going to rain also, I know.
Yeah.
I'm following my budget.
Making that hole a little bit further.
No. I'm not in the hole yet, and I don't want to be. I think I can finish it without going in the hole.
Okay. So you get a little bit more time. I'm trying to get to a point where the cabins have the new beds.
Yeah.
And that's why I know Kathy said it was really important, and it is. Keep a logbook. When did we put a new water heater in? When were the new beds put in? I mean, we forget. I mean, I do. I can't remember. What do we need more of to substantiate the cabins to make them look clean from year to year?
Kathy put together that cleaning maintenance list, which is great and needs to be applied to every cabin and scheduled for every cabin. And we were talking about the schedule with the work campers and when we do these, because some of the stuff needs to be done in the spring, some needs to be done in the fall, but a lot of it can be done during the summer. It doesn't all have to be done because there's already a lot to do opening cabins in the springtime. You never know what you're going to walk into. So, yeah, I think tying the logbook with the maintenance schedule, those two need to go together. So
we should keep track of this because, like I told you and I think we've talked to Mike, I want the new beds in there, and a lot of cabins, a lot of people are going, wow, that's really awesome. The beds were wonderful. You need to keep going. And I know right. You said it was difficult for you at a certain time frame to be able to go out and pick them up.
Right.
But our contact with Barry is awesome, and I just want to keep it moving.
Well,
and I both have talked about
it. And just for the sake of pushing out Google Docs, all that information is already available. Whenever we bought beds, wherever we do anything, it's applied to each cabin, and we know when and where it was and how much it cost. So every improvement. If we put a new toilet seat in the garden cabin, it's on Google Docs. Every improvement is being tracked.
Okay.
So
that's another thing.
But that's a separate.
You want to get going.
Yeah.
I want new beds. More
cabin. Did we order the master
more cabin? No.
More cabins too.
Can't take care of what we got.
I'm a sailor. I'd love to build a cabin spot.
Oh.
That's a single.
Okay.
Okay, back to Cindy.
Remember me? So we're talking about volunteers right now. The volunteer program, the member volunteer program. I just talked about the work camper volunteers. I think everybody probably is aware now that we have work campers here, that the cabins are being taken care of without Kurt having to worry too much about them.
Well, I spent the last couple of days going through everything. But that was just because nobody was here. I go, oh, everybody quit.
But everything was fine. Right?
Everything was fine.
Okay.
Very nice.
So that's going along well. We're hoping to expand that even next year and have more maintenance help. Maybe somebody with some truck maintenance experience.
Mechanics.
Yes. So next on my list
build a shop.
Is recreation. And Jeff, do you have any update for us on the canoe?
Well, I think somebody recently used to...
They fixed it.
Dave Turley.
No.
It's not his. But he did. He was at that. He was in that meeting. And we thought it was his, but he said in the meeting it wasn't. But he pulled it in here when he was here last time. And the one thing about Dave Turley is you can kind of follow him around because he just kind of fixes things. And so
the canoe was pulled out of the lower pond.
Okay.
The makeshift port who brake was installed and four makeshift paddles were built.
Yep.
I was going to donate aluminum plastic paddles, but I don't want them walking off. So I have them available in the back of my Suburban right now. I think there needs to be some way to designate, hey, this is available to ranch members if they want to use it. There's got to be somebody responsible to say, okay,
right.
Here's what my jackets are, here's where the paddles are, here's what.
Okay, so.
Chain the oars to, like, oar.
You yellow boat with oars, you paddle a canoe. Just paddle.
You can modify it.
We want a crossbreed.
Yeah. So, okay, so my question
we want
to
Dory.
Is there more you want to do on it? We had talked about painting on the side. DSR property, use at your own risk.
I've not done that. I was going to take it off the ranch to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's agreed. Wrong with the wind?
And
it's kind of hard to hold the template.
And you said something about life vests as well.
Well,
could we put a locking cabinet up there?
We need to build something at the ponds, and it would be nice to have the fishing tackle out there, membership access, so it has a place to go. And you know, it's like somebody took five or six fishing poles out of here and they put them in the tool room. They took them out of the store and put them in the tool room. And I'm like, well, there we are. And that's what happens, is they just put them somewhere. And so they tell the kids, go take these back down there. Put that in the tool room.
You get an outdoor locking cabinet where, you know, maybe even with a combination lock and the owners get the combination if they want it, something like that.
If we have to store this stuff, it would make it more convenient for people to want to go out and spend time with their families rather than standing in a pond going, gosh, I wish we had a boat.
True.
There needs to be a spot, a shed or a unit that they can lock it up. Members only have the access.
Yeah.
And I think that's very doable.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll put that on the agenda.
Cool. Yeah. We're going to modify this place. A rack on one side for the canoe, maybe a lock-in, high-time party show on the outside. Just have to stuff it. That way it's there. And
what if we look at the beginning of the bathroom on one side and a forward on the other side?
It would have been more beneficial in the center of that big area, not as a lower pond. People that are coming off the cabins, they're down there fishing, they really need to go to the bathroom, they have an option. Bushes or go up to the cabins.
Well, what happened to the porta potty idea? I thought they said porta potty.
I have a porta potty all lined up. I just need a truck to haul it with. Somebody wants to help me out with that? We'll get it right up here.
People don't do it?
That's the whole thing, is we can spend, I think it's $450 a month on a trailer that we have to drive to town, and we have to drive to town to have a service no matter what. Joe offered his trailer. I don't have a way to haul his trailer. So it's got to go once a month, and I was hoping the Ford would be back by now. Well, if we get a trailer, then we just have to drive it back and forth, and they'll service it, and it's like, I forgot what it was, $190 a month or something.
He's taking the trailer home this weekend.
He's taking the trailer home this weekend. He doesn't want everybody pooping on it.
$450
a month.
We haul it in on the way to town, have it pumped and cleaned out. All about now.
Yeah, we could do that. This is my one.
You know, like the water tester guy will be down here.
Yeah, that's water related.
It is water.
And
it's water,
man. It's kind of water.
Excellent. Excellent. We're expanding your horizons.
Water floor.
Okay, Cindy, anything else?
The dock recently had some work done on it too, didn't it?
Yeah. Jobo Bay.
Yay, Jobo Bay!
Did you see the weeds growing up through it?
Yeah, we were impressed.
We need somebody there with a backhoe to de-weed that. With a broken arm, you could just use one arm.
Yeah.
And that's all I have.
He's going to Alaska to get some rest.
All right, last but certainly.
I was going to do that, but somebody sent me to Podunk to replace a cattle guard.
Yeah.
I was going to do that, and then somebody made me do a culvert correction in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I was
going to do
that. Hey, Larry, thanks for doing that cattle guard. That did help.
Okay, last but not least, Larry Clarkson.
Okay, just real quick, I don't know that it's necessarily my area of responsibility or expertise, but the past month, more or less, we spent quite a bit of time with Kurt, Brent, Joe, and others redoing the water vault PRV, creating a new 2-inch bypass, and correcting once and for all the 4-inch original PRV. And we got it finally figured out and solved, and so our water issues are good for now.
Thank you.
The RV pads are up and functional, and Cindy's camping there, and we've had a couple others.
Yeah, she's vacationing in Zion for a week. She got a week off because we have
There's portions of it, but not a complete. We need to make that document so the water, the supply is all laid out, and the drain lines are all laid out. So, other than that, I don't really have anything else other than.
Okay, our next meeting will be Saturday, August 14th.
And I will be gone on to be on the telephone.
Okay. And it will be 10 o'clock in the morning, just like today. Hopefully we'll have a nice, cool breeze. Okay, any final comments or questions, anybody?
I think what will encourage people to do, especially like I know Jim and Tina have piles of it, it's a mobile unit. It doesn't have to be in one spot and everybody bring their limb. He can go from spot to spot and save everybody the effort if they've got it piled into a brush pile.
Who's going to take your cell phone and contact him and see if
he can bring it up? I will not. Wait.
Okay. Before he comes out, right?
Right. before he comes out.
So he brings equipment.
So he brings it with him.
I'm planning on doing it as soon as I get home.
Can he do our slash file?
I'll give him a call Monday.
Contacting him.
Kurt.
Oh, yeah,
Ross, can he do our slash file?
I don't know, because chippers work better with green material than with not green material. But I'm sure
that's the other problem with our slash pile is it's been so
mixed up
with dirt and full of dirt and crap, and that's what killed the ranch chipper is running
dirt.
A bunch of dirt in it. Yeah.
And juniper, the juniper hangs on the dirt anyway.
And then when he is contacted, and the newsletter comes out, make sure that he's aware of what we'd like so he can be someone that we contact. Sure, that's there. So anyway, I think that's really important as the front. Not what the president says, not what Larry says. I know his is important, but, front and center.
Yes, this fire.
So basically you're saying every single newsletter, that should be it. Well, and that's the reality.
That should be the front page. I told Mariah that should be the front page is the fire danger.
Yeah.
But also don't wait. Don't assume somebody else called it in. We've called in 3 fires. Here, the first one, we called it in first, and then, or Bob Hedman had called it in, but they couldn't hear him more clearly.
But the thing there, too, Kurt, you need to know where it's at. You remember that one fire when it was up here working? I went up and I called them. Somebody told them the White Cliffs, and it was down on Nephi Pasture. So kind of
last year.
No, this year.
Oh, is that one that was over there?
Down there. I asked you, I said, did you know about fire? You said, I heard about fire, so I went up and called them in. And you could see that it was right after Mount Canyon, and he's by Pasture. And somebody else had told them by the White Cliff. Well, where's the White Cliff?
Yeah, I don't know anybody.
So trying to get a map out if you call them and have kind of a location. Otherwise, they get sent all over.
Right. The first one was Park Wash, and then the
second one was up above.
There were two of them.
Well, okay, there was a park
one. One.
Park, yeah.
What's the haze right now?
A little
fire.
That was about a month ago now. Yeah, it's actually been.
Yeah, there's a fire somewhere because the weather.
Really
weather
cold.
Said it's going to be smoky today.
Anyway, if you can't kind of locate
mostly California.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
you're sending them all over. Tell me, like, you're crazy. When I talked to you on the radio, I said, well, it's down in my backyard, Park Wash. Okay. Well, 3 or 4 days, they hung out here 3 or 4 days and just made sure that was mopped up, and they also had their radar out. And they're out patrolling the area regularly. Yeah, they're. They've been parked up here at the 160 turnoff. Yeah, they're a present, which is good.
All right, Vance, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, just one second, make sure. All right, well, we're done. Unless anybody has anything they want to add. Okay, guys, that's it. We're done. Thank you.